This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Many of us who love American popular song love Blossom Dearie because she finds such interesting songs to sing and does them so well. Back in 1974, New Yorker jazz critic Whitney Balliot placed her alongside Bobby Short and Mabel Mercer as one of the consummate triumvirate of supper club singers that rule the upper regions of American popular song. New York Times music critic Stephen Holden wrote, "Her exquisite conversational phrasing gives her material the aura and rhythm of Short's stories." Several of Blossom Dearie's Verve recordings from the 50s and early 60s have been reissued. Before we meet her, let's hear one of the obscure but wonderful songs in her repertoire, a good song for the new season. It's called "They Say It's Spring," recorded in 1957.
They say it's spring, this feeling light as a feather. They say this thing, this magic we share together, came with the weather too. They say it's May that's made me daft as a daisy. It's May, they say, that gave the whole world this crazy, heavenly, hazy hue. I'm a lark on the wing, I'm the spark of a firefly's fling. Yet to me, this must be something more than a seasonal thing. Could it be spring? Those bells that I can hear ringing, it may be spring. But when the robin stops singing, you're what I'm clinging to. Though they say it's spring, it's you.
Blossom Dearie, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you very much.
You find such great songs to sing. I'm interested in the story of how you found that one, They Say It's Spring.
Marty Clark wrote the music to They Say It's Spring, and Bob Hames wrote the words. And they came to me, both of them. I met them somehow back in those days, and they played a couple of songs for me. And I love that one in particular.
Now, you have a very small voice when you sing.
Yes, I do have a small voice, yes.
Did you ever try to make that into a big voice?
Oh, into a big voice. I have taken voice lessons a couple of times from legitimate voice teachers. In fact, I'm going back to a teacher now. Once in a while, once every 10 years, I go to a voice teacher. And we work on my voice a little bit, but they all say the same thing that... They tell me I'm not breathing properly. And it's very funny to have worked and sung for so many years and then someone say to you, well, you're not breathing properly. Also, I do turn to the side, to the right when I sing, and they say that that constricts the vocal cords.
Oh, because you're sitting at the piano and you're turning to face
down,
the audience.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
But it's mostly the breathing that they are concerned about. They say you have to breathe right in this diaphragm and work on it. And I think that would probably make my voice more powerful. But at this age, I don't think I'm going to worry about it. And I have never been a singer who could stand up and sing like a theatrical singer. I just, I sit down, and I've always used a microphone. I have a kind of microphone technique.
Now, I think because you have a very unique voice that you often rethink songs. So maybe that's just your unique sensibility. But I mean, I love you for the obscure songs that you find and sing. But also when you do a standard, it often sounds very different than
Thank
the ways
you.
I've heard it done before. And I think an excellent example of that is your version of Surrey with a Fringe on Top.
I was just going to say that.
Good.
And I've had so many requests for Surrey with a Fringe on Top that I'm doing it again after many years.
Oh, good. See, most mm-hmm. singers, I think, do this at a kind of clip-clop type of pace, and you slow it down to a ballad.
I slowed it down.
It's really lovely.
And, when I first heard the song sung in the Broadway show, I didn't like the interpretation at all.
Me neither.
But I liked the song.
Mm-hmm.
And I could sort of relate to that, being from the country, and the horse and the buggy, which is something I always liked. And So I just slowed it down to give the words more meaning. And same thing with T for Two. I slowed that way down. And Manhattan.
Well, why don't I play Surrey with a Fringe on top from one of those Verve reissues?
All right.
Chicks and ducks and geese better scurry when I take you out in the Surrey. When I take you out in the Surrey with the fringe on top. Watch that fringe and see how it flutters when I drive them high step and strutters. Nosy pokes will peek through the shutters and their eyes will pop. The wheels are yellow, the upholstery's brown, the dashboard's genuine leather. With eyes and glass curtains you can roll right down in case there's a change in the weather. Two bright side lights winking and blinking. Ain't no finer rig I'm a-thinking. You can keep your rig if you're thinking that I'd care to swap for that shiny little Surrey with the fringe on the top.
That's Blossom Dearie, recorded in 1958 from one of the records reissued on the Verve label. Blossom Dearie, you were born in New York in a town in the Catskill Mountains. Was that a resort town?
Yes and no. A little country village in the upstate New York. I feel like a real New Yorker because I was born upstate, and I live in New York City, so New York State is my state.
I know your father was a bartender and I think a hotel manager.
Uh-huh.
Now, did he ever work with singers at the bar?
No.
Not that kind of bar,
no.
Huh?
But my father was very musical, mm-hmm. and he used to sing around the house. And he sang good songs, and my mother liked good songs, too. So I grew up in an atmosphere of good songs. My daddy used to whistle and sing a lot of popular songs at the time.
Were you pretty uninhibited as a child when it came to singing?
No, I didn't sing as a child. That came later when I came to New York. I was playing piano as a child, and then when I came to New York City, I started singing. The piano came first. I think of myself more as a musician than just a singer. I think it's the musicianship that people like about my work.
Now, I know when you moved to New York, you became friends with Gil Evans, the arranger who, among other things, arranged the Miles Davis records Birth of the Cool and Porgy and Bess. You met Charlie Parker and Dizzy Gillespie. What was the impact of bebop on you? So many musicians were absolutely taken by bebop, and you are much more involved with standards and, you know, with a much more melodic style than bebop. So I'm wondering about the impact of that on you.
The impact of bebop was a great impact on me, and I knew those musicians and loved them very much. I heard Charlie Parker and Dizzy Gillespie, and then eventually I worked at the Village Vanguard opposite Miles Davis, and that was one of the highlights of my career, I think, working at the Vanguard opposite Miles Davis in that group. That was just tremendous. I loved it very much. I never was a bebop singer, but I listened to the choruses the choruses that everybody did and the improvising.
Now, Miles is a musician who I think always loved songs. He recorded a lot of songs on his records, and I know he liked a lot of singers. Did you trade song ideas with each other?
Yes, we did. We were very friendly. He used to come to hear me a lot, and I used to go to hear him a lot. We belonged to a kind of a social circle, and we'd meet at parties and things like that. And he liked Surrey with the Fringe on Top, as a matter of fact.
Oh, no kidding. Did he liked your version of it, or he liked it before?
Yes, he did.
And
we were very friendly, and then he finally arranged for me to work opposite him at the Village Vanguard for on five different occasions. That was in the early 60s, and that was very memorable.
My guest is Blossom Dearie. What do you do when you're learning a song? Do you feel like you need to know it by heart? Would you go up with sheet music for a performance?
No, not sheet music. I have to learn the music first. Mm-hmm. I have to learn to play the song, get it in the right key, and I learn the song at the piano. But I have lyrics on the piano which are hidden. You know, the piano part is just about all I can handle for the beginning of the song. Then I sort of refer to the lyrics now and then.
What do you feel you need to hide the lyrics when you're referring to them?
Well, I don't want them shown. It doesn't look very nice, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And do you usually need to refer to them, or do you usually actually really
For
know
new
them?
Songs, I do until I learn them.
Mm-hmm.
And it depends on the lyrics. If there's a story involved, it's easier to memorize the lyrics than just impressions and things like Peel Me a Grape. Well, I guess it took me a long time to learn that because there's no story. There's no continuity. I mean, it's just one thing after another. A love song is easier to memorize.
Why is that?
Because of the continuity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it just has images, then you just sort of have to memorize it.
Well, Blossom Dearie, thank you so much for talking
thank
with
you.
Us. Blossom Dearie, she's performing through the end of April at Danny's Skylight Room in Manhattan. Let's listen to another recording from the late 50s, reissued by Verve. This is I Won't Dance.
I won't dance, don't ask me. I won't dance, don't ask me. I won't dance, monsieur, with you. My heart won't let my feet do things they should do. You know what? You're handsome. You know what? Too handsome. But oh, what you do to me. I'm like an ocean wave that's bumped on the shore. I feel so absolutely stumped on the floor. When you dance, you're charming and you're gentle. Especially when you do the continental. But this feeling isn't purely mental. For heaven rest us, I'm not asbestos. And that's why I won't dance. Why should I? I won't dance.
This is Fresh Air.